Thank you for joining us again today. And I say us because we're doing something a little bit different in these days together on God Is. We're having a conversation with a man of God, a brother in Christ, someone who I love deeply and have a great relationship with, Dr. Brent Fulton. Brent is serving as the president of China Source, and he's written this compelling book, China's Urban Christians, A Light That Cannot Be Hidden. I hope that if you do not already have your copy, you will soon get it. And Brent, we've been talking about the urban church in China, which is fascinating. Let me just ask you this to start. If I'm going to China, I'm already here, I'm in Hong Kong, and I've been to mainland China many times, but if one of our listeners are going to China, how can they prepare to visit there, especially if they're going there, let's say, for the first time?
Well, there's a number of good books out there to read on China, and if you go to chinasource.org, we actually have a book section where we recommend books that people on our team have written, but many other people as well, that would help somebody understand the situation there better before they get to China. We also have a couple online courses. One is for people who are going over to serve in some capacity in China, whether short or long term, and it's called Serving Well in China. It's done by my colleague Joanne Pittman, who herself spent 28 years living in China and really is somewhat of an expert on cultural adjustment. She's seen thousands of people make the adjustment to life in China and picks up a lot of valuable lessons that she shares in her online course, Serving Well in China. And then I've got a course as well on the church in China, and both of those are available if you just go to chinasource.org and click on the China Source Institute tab, you can enroll in those online courses.
Are they free?
No, there's a small registration fee to take the course.
Trust me, it'll be worth it if you do. I've heard Brent teach. I've heard Brent preach on many occasions. And I'm sure as you've picked up in our conversation, he is an outstanding teacher, well gifted by God. So is Joanne Pittman. I know Joanne, she's outstanding as well. So you'll go to chinasource.org for those. And then click what link once they're there?
The China Source Institute tab.
The China Source Institute tab. So all of you are familiar with the internet. Get online today and go to chinasource.org and take advantage of these resources. What about if I'm in China on a Sunday? Can I go to one of these urban churches that you've mentioned? Can I attend?
Well, it's probably not a good idea in the current climate. And here's why. The authorities in China watch what the unregistered church is doing. And so the police in any given area in a city in China are well aware of groups that are meeting on Sundays that technically shouldn't be doing that. But oftentimes the police would just keep an eye on them, but not bother them as long as they don't get too big and as long as they don't do anything political. Once a foreigner enters the situation, the equation changes completely. For the Chinese government, foreign involvement in religious activity is a red line. They see that as threatening because the authorities believe that foreigners are using religious groups in China for political means. And so by putting yourself as a foreigner into that situation, you're actually changing the situation and potentially bringing undue attention to that particular group. Now, if you visit one of the registered churches in China, certainly you would be welcome there. They may or may not have English translation if you don't understand Chinese, but they would probably welcome you into that congregation. And then in most cities in China, most big cities rather, there are international fellowships where people from many countries gather on Sunday, and usually the language of worship there is English. And those international fellowships are very accessible.
Now, Brent, you and I love to eat.
Yes.
We've eaten together on many occasions. In fact, we just ate together.
Hong Kong's best.
That's McDonald's, everybody. But that's a rare occasion for us to have McDonald's. We needed to eat quickly. We love Chinese food.
We certainly do.
Tell me a little bit about, you visit China. And a lot of times when Westerners visit China, they'll try to look for Western establishments.
Right.
But can you just give us a brief sense about what would be a good kind of food experience to have if you visit there? Like, what's your favorite? What should people go for?
Right. Well, Mark, I'm trying to really understand the spiritual significance of this question, but and I'm sure there's a reason why you asked it. But anyway,
by the way, I could think of several verses to give to you right now.
Okay, thank
but
you. But
the reason I asked it is simply because I had food, I guess, on my mind, and also, to me, the China experience is so much about what you eat.
It is,
and Chinese Christians love to get together, and they love to eat, and they love to celebrate who God is in fellowship with one another.
You can't experience China without experiencing the food. China has regional cuisines, and so depending on where you go in China, you're going to find different kinds of food. So if you go to Beijing, of course, you've got to have Peking duck. That's the specialty of Beijing. If you go out west to Sichuan, you're going to have hot and spicy food, which may leave your mouth a bit numb and tingling. If you go down to Hunan, you might end up eating a lot of garlic, and wondering why people don't want to get too close to you after dinner. But if everybody eats the same food, it doesn't matter. We're all fine. Down here in South China, in Hong Kong, the food tends to be more bland. And so you get things like steamed fish with ginger, which is one of my favorites, and ginger and scallions, and wonton, of course, and noodles. So depending on where you are in China, there's going to be something great. And so it's a... It's wonderful if you're traveling around China to sample the different kinds of cuisine that you'll find.
And you're living back in California now, right?
We are, and we have pretty good Chinese food there these days.
But when you say Chinese food, you don't mean the stuff that comes in white boxes from a place like China Walk or the Fenyang House, a couple of establishments near me in Boston. That is American Chinese food, right, which is actually quite different than what you're going to get of what I could say would be true and authentic and genuine Chinese food.
That's right. That's kind of an American Chinese creation that's kind of evolved over the centuries. And you actually wouldn't find it in China.
Right. So popular on New Year's Eve, certainly in New England, and of course in California as well, and all across the country, but very different than what you're going to experience when you get on the ground in China. And you encourage people, right, from the U.S. to visit the nation of China, get on a plane and go?
Yes, but do your homework before you go. There's so much in China culturally, historically, socially, that you might miss, just because going to China, can, for the first time especially, can be a very overwhelming experience. The sights, the smells, the noises, it can be very overwhelming. And in a sense, you need to know what to look for, to know what you're seeing, what you're hearing, who you're talking to. So I would encourage people to prepare well before a trip so that it can really be a meaningful trip to China. But yes, China is a fascinating place to visit.
I totally agree. And as you think about China, and as we talk about China, let's be praying together for China. And before the end of our time together with Brent, we'll talk about how we can pray for the Chinese Christians more. But Brent, right now, I want to get back to what God is doing there. And on God Is, I've taught extensively that God is power. God is power. Can you talk about some of the ways that you have seen God working in his power in China?
Yes, and I think... we in the West have a lot to learn from the experience of the church in China in that regard. China experienced incredible revival in the 70s and 80s as China kind of came out of the darkness of the Cultural Revolution years. And during that time of revival, God revealed his power through signs and wonders in some miraculous ways. Some people have done some research on rural Christians in China. And one piece of research I saw said that over 90% of the believers surveyed in this particular study traced their own conversion back to a healing or some demonstration of God's power. And so the Holy Spirit was just unleashed in a remarkable way. And for the Christians, this wasn't unusual. This was expected that God was going to show forth his power. And so I think we've seen that in terms of signs and wonders. But in the urban church, what we've seen is the power to change lives. And we hear again and again about people whose lives were radically changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. They were in situations in business or in their families or in a, maybe a political dilemma that they were facing. And there really seemed to be no way out. But they came to Christ in humility. Christ got a hold of them and really turned things around and changed their lives. And the testimonies of believers in China are a powerful testimony to the way in which God works in that country.
You've worshiped with many Chinese Christians. You've prayed with them. They've prayed for you. You've prayed for them. Can you just give us a snapshot of what that's like?
Well, worship in China has changed, I think, over the decades. And, of course, it depends on where you go in China. But one of my earliest recollections was going up to from Hong Kong to Guangzhou in the 80s and visiting a house church run by a pastor, Samuel Lam, who was one of the most famous unregistered church leaders in China. He had spent decades, literally, in prison and labor camp, and upon release just went right back to pastoring. And so he had this two-story house church that had a Saturday night service. It had several services on the weekend, but I remember the Saturday night service, and I remember going up to Guangzhou, and I went with some friends from Hong Kong, and we knew we had to get there early because the place was going to be packed. And so we got there at least a half hour, if not an hour, before the service was supposed to start. And unlike in the West, when you get to church and everybody's kind of chatting with each other and waiting for the service to start, we got there, and it was quiet. There were a lot of people in there. They were all lined up against the walls, kneeling with their faces towards the wall, praying. And that was how they began their worship. And it just spoke to me, to the power of prayer, and spoke of the dedication and the complete dependence upon God that these believers had.
Well, thank you very much for that, Brent. We're going to pick up right here tomorrow when you come back. So join myself and Brent Fulton tomorrow for more on God Is.